Thank you very much. It's my grand and glorious privilege and a great blessing of God to be here with you at Grace Chapel Church. I've so many times heard of the good meetings. I love Brother Zach and all of his family and greatly appreciate his ministry here. And I, too, am happy to see so many of us young folks here. And we're just happy that we could all be here. It's a great blessing. Appreciate the things Brother Former has brought to us, and I also know him and love him for many years. I was thinking as he was preaching, I've got a very unusual name. My first name is Vernice, but I was named after a man named Vernice Fulmer. He was a rather famous attorney in the section of Texas where I lived, and so I appreciate the things that Brother Fulmer has brought to us this morning. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to the 130th Psalm, and we will look at some things here that the writer has in store for us. In the 130th Psalm, I'd like to speak to you today about something. Brother Fulmer said that he spoke on this subject here many years ago. I spoke on this subject about 10 years ago. When I saw all these young people here today, I was reminded of the world in which we live, but especially in which you live. We have, us people who have a few gray hair, have been able to make it along so far, but the temptations and the things that our young people are presented with today are so awesome in comparison to what they were when I was going to school. We used to get in trouble for talking in class or throwing paper balls or running in the halls when I was in school. And a few kids would drink a little beer on the weekends and smoke a few cigarettes. And that was the worst things that we were tempted with back whenever I was in school. And it was not that long ago. It seemed like that our easy morality has brought us into a situation in which we live in today that makes it extremely difficult. I have my wife and I have five little grandchildren, and I shudder to think of the world in which that they will live. And you people, most of you young people here will at some point will be bringing little children to live in this world, and I think it's so very important that we look at in God's Word and recognize things for the way they are. And the writer here in the 130th Psalms was beginning to recognize something. I want to talk to you today about the eyes of sin. And I'm not talking about the eyes that you look with. I'm talking about the I-Z-E, the eyes of sin. The writer personalized his sin, and he personalized his sin, and then he personalized it, he recognized his sin, and he personalized his sin, and he vocalized his sin. So you've got to be able to recognize it, you know, and being able to recognize something. He was talking about those mules a while ago. This old guy was out working on his little old shed. He had a little old mule and a little old mule in the shed, and the shed was so short that the mule's ears was turned over. And this neighbor come by, and the guy was tearing the top off his shed. And the neighbor said, "What's the problem here?" And he said, "Well," said, "my mule's ears are turned down at the top. Said, I'm going to raise this roof up here so that his ears won't turn down under the shed." The guy said, "Well, why don't you just dig out the bottom of it a little bit, and you won't have to tear the top off." He said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "It's not his feet is too long, it's his ears is too long." So we have to be able to really recognize what the problem is in order to be able to rightly take care of it. A little boy one time, he come running in the house and said, "Mama, Mama, there's a lion in the backyard." I said, "Son, you really think so?" He said, "Yes." Well, his mama went and looked, and there was a dog out in the backyard. And she said, "Now, son, you know that's not a lion." Said, "I want you to go upstairs," and said, you go up and you ask the Lord to forgive you of this sin. You talk to the Lord about it. About 2 hours later, the little boy came down, and she said, "Well, what did the Lord say about that lion in the backyard. And he said, well, Mama, he said at first he thought it was a lion too. So we got to be able to recognize something. And in the 130th Psalms here, the writer was recognizing his sin, and he was personalizing his sin, and he was vocalizing his sin. And I think that we have to realize that. In fact, the day and age in which we live, there was a man a few years ago that wrote a book, and I say it's probably been 15 years ago. There's a clinic up in Topeka, Kansas called the Menninger Clinic, and they treat the mentally ill. The man who started that clinic was Dr. Carl Menninger, and for many years he was at the clinic, and after he got up past his 80th birthday, he wrote a book. And that book was titled, Whatever Become of Sin? And so as we began to look into sin, whatever happened to sin, the world we live in, we don't hear much about sin because there's just, we got so many other ways of looking at things now that we do not call it sin. The Bible talked to us about the things in the Bible. You know, that's one thing about it. We find out in the Scriptures, it tells us the truth. We may think about Noah and the things he did, but actually Noah got drunk and the Bible told us he did. And we find out that Lot was involved in incest. And the reason we know that, the Bible told us about it. And the reason we know that Abraham had some unbelief is because of the things that he did. He was called faithful Abraham, but he still had periods of unbelief. And we know that David got involved in adultery. We know that Mark was a coward. And certain instances he was. And we know that Peter did some swearing and cursing and denying of our Lord and Savior. The reason we know these things is that God's Word tells us these things. And that's why we go to God's Word to find out when we look into sin and we be able to recognize what sin is. In the day and age in which you live, it is certainly a great problem because we've come along, we talk about the eyes of sin. One of the things we have done in the society in which we live, that we have modernized sin. This is the eyes of sin, I-Z-E, the eyes of sin. We have modernized sin, and by modernizing sin, we begin to talk about things like, well, God says that it's drunkenness, but to us it's just alcoholism, or it's just a social disease. We don't any longer say that sin, that drunkenness is a sin, but God's Word says it's a sin. But we say that it's alcoholism, or it's a social disease, or we come to sodomy. Now the Bible says it's sodomy, but we modernize it by saying that it's gay, it's lesbian, it's an alternate lifestyle. You see how that in the society in which you live, it's very important that you recognize sin. You've got to be able to recognize it, because if you do not recognize it, how are you ever going to go to the Lord and confess to Him that you have sinned and ask His forgiveness? So you've got to recognize it. It's not gay and lesbian and alternate lifestyle. It's sodomy. That's what God's Word said. And the society in which we live says, well, it's just a natural thing. I can't help it. I was born that way. Well, God's Word says it's unnatural. He says it's unnatural. I understand you can have tendencies, you can do certain things and so forth. And let me say this, someone that's involved in that, you know, it's hit every one of us as family. Now, somewhere down in cousins or somewhere, it's hit every family. Those people are still, many of them, God's children who have been misled and misinformed and doing things that they should not do. The thing to try to help them and to encourage them, to let them to recognize that this is a sin, that's not an alternate lifestyle. It's not just another way of doing things, that it's not natural. The reason I know it's not natural is God's Word says that it's not natural. God's Word says it's perversion, but we say it's pornography and it's adult entertainment and those things. You see, you've got to be able to recognize your sin and able to be able to confess it before the Lord. And so we find that the Bible says that adultery and fornication is a sin, but we call it premarital and extramarital sex and so forth. We take God's word says drunkenness, you know, is wrong, but we say it's the happy hour and so forth. So we have ways of changing it. So we have to be careful that we do not modernize sin to the fact that we do not recognize sin. It's still a sin. God's word says it has not changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And then the other thing, if we're not careful that we'll glamorize sin. You know, if you watch that television or the movie show, it's so easy. It seems so glamorous. I mean, here's all these beautiful people up here that you're watching and so forth, and we begin to glamorize. And, you know, if you get to thinking, looking at people like Paris Hilton and Britney Spears and you know, people like that just begin to glamorize it. You know, that lifestyle, they'll tell you, isn't that wonderful? Well, you've got, if you don't recognize it, you glamorize it, you modernize it, you see all the things that you can do to sin, trying to cover it up where it does not look like sin, but God's word says that it's sin. And so we have to realize that it is certainly sin, and we're pray that the Lord would be able to help us to be able to recognize that sin, but we glamorize it and we rationalize it. It's so easy to rationalize sin, the sin of giving that the brothers talked about. I can rationalize saying, well, you know, I've got to pay my bills. I know my light bill is due, or I'm going to be getting a bill for my light bill, or I know my car note's going to be due. I'm just not going to be able to give to the church this weekend or so forth. But, you know, we have to be able to realize we rationalize things. See, people get involved in situations with someone else will say, well, my wife has just been so cold to me. She's just mistreated me. You know, I'm just absolutely, and they begin to rationalize, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, or I can do this, because we begin to rationalize it. Again, we rationalize our sin and be able to do things. People, you know, I said, I ought to have some type of crutch. I never had. I remember one grandparent, and he died when I was just a little boy. You know, I'm a child that didn't have any grandparents. I ought to be able to blame that on something. I can rationalize that I'm this way because I never did have many grandparents. Look, boy, what we do for our grandkids. You know, they love Papa and Grandmama and so forth. Well, I ought to be able to rationalize that and be able to get around it. But, you know, these athletes, they got one over in Dallas called T.O. I don't know his name. And as a matter of fact, I tried to think of his name. And I'm glad, you know, I don't know it. I was seeing on TV this week, they were saying these are the 10 worst movies of the year. They were looking at everything, and these are the 10 worst movies. So, you know, I haven't spent a dollar watching any of those movies. And then I thought, you know, I hadn't spent a dollar watching the 10 best movies either. And so we have to realize that, that we do not rationalize things and glamorize things because it, but we have to realize that also we come along and that we civilize sin. We modernize it, we glamorize it, we rationalize it, we civilize it. God's laws have not changed. Lucille Ball said one time, says, I'm shocked at the things that I'm not shocked about. And today, we see things going on in our society that I'll tell you, I am so happy that my mother and daddy died just before the Monica Lewinsky trial came on. The things that they said on public in there, my mother and daddy wouldn't have known what they were talking about, and I'm happy they didn't have to. I know some older people who actually asked their son. He told me, he said, they asked him what that meant. Can you imagine that? I'm so happy my mother and daddy didn't have to go through that. But the society in which these young people here are growing up in and bringing kids up into are faced with this every single day. We need to pray that God would bless us not to be able to recognize the things that are befronting our young people today, and pray for them every day that the Lord would give them wisdom. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a lamp. The only thing we have, we cannot go by what the media says. We cannot go by what the newspaper says. The only thing that we have that is sure and tested and tried is God's Word. It's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. It tells us how to react in every single situation. We know how to react. So, well, I don't know some of the things I'm confronted with. Yes, you do. If you just stop and think, God's Word somewhere has given you the answer to the very problem you're trying to resolve. So we have to be able. Now, he says here in the 130th Psalms, he had to recognize the sin. He said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Out of the depths. From the very depths of despair. Can you imagine where he is? Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? The brother quoted this just a little while ago. Who shall be able to stand? This is a bookkeeping term, actually. Thou markest iniquities. It's like they got a ledger there, and every time that you commit a sin, that they mark it down. Well, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord it's not strike for strike. If it was strike for strike, there's none of us could stand. And that's what he said. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? There'll not be one able to stand because all of us' sin has gone over our head. We are completely, there's none righteous, no, not one. So we realize here that, O Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand. And so, as he recognized this great sin, and then he goes on to say, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know, a song that we sing, alas, and did my Savior die? There's something about to save such a worm as I. I noticed in some of the new modern hymn books, they've got sinners there. Did sinners die? We take the position that we wouldn't want to be called a worm. If take, you know, the wretch, we've already heard that some songbooks take the word wretch out of Amazing Grace. Or take the word worm out here and put sinner. In one book, I'm told that they put persons, if any person, such a person as I. So it goes from being a worm to a sinner to a person. And you see the downgrade? We need an upgrade. What we need. We need to upgrade to the Word of God. And we need to bring our thinking in line with the thinking of God. You know, there's one thing that someone asked me not long ago. He said, why do you think that David was a man after God's own heart? The Scripture does not tell us that. It just says that he was. It doesn't tell us why. But as I look at it, I look at how that every time that David was confronted with his sin, it seems that now that when we're confronted with sin, that we want to change it. We want to make it something else. It's not really our fault. You know, whenever Tio goes down for a big pass and they don't throw it to him, he don't bother to break it up. I mean, I played a lot of football too. You don't go out and so they didn't throw it to me. You break it up. But it's not my fault. Whenever we picked up that ball at shortstop, and we threw it wide to first base, out of my mouth immediately, whenever I went across, that's my fault. It's my fault. That was the way it was at one time. We said, it's my fault, my fault. In other words, I never should have made it. But nowadays, you know, there's an old saying, it matters not who wins or loses, but how you played the game. Now, I've noticed it matters not if you win or lose, but who there is to blame. Nobody wants to take the blame for it. You know, you ought, if you go out and they don't throw it to you, at least break the thing up so the other guy don't get it. I'm just trying to say that we have so many ways of changing things up. No one wants to take the blame. It wants to be nobody's fault that things are like they are. And so we pray that God's mercy and justice. He goes on to say, In the 51st Psalms, he says, that, I was saying about Nathan the prophet, when he came to David and he told David about this great sin that he used an example of a man, and when he told David, and he told David, said, "Thou art the man, David." When David finally understood, he said, "Thou art the man." And you know what David did? Immediately he began to ask the Lord to have mercy upon him and forgive him. He accepted the fact that he had sinned. And so oftentimes, we too need to, we should and ought to accept the fact that we have sinned, that we've come short. That no matter if the world changes it up and they call it something else, we know in our heart and in our mind that what we have done is not in keeping with God's Word. And therefore, we recognize it. And whenever, once we recognize it, then we can be able to confess our sins. We begin to vocalize it. He says that that He is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So that we must recognize it. We must personalize it. We must realize, you know, He's not talking about someone else. The man told, Nathan told David about this incident. But David saw himself in it. And whenever Brother Former gets up and begins to speak about that we ought to be faithful to give to God's work here and to His and to the church, it's pretty easy for us to think about someone else. But we really need to see if that fits me. So we have to be able to personalize it and to be able to find out if that really fits me and so forth. And so we find, you know, Brother Harder told me about the time that he went to the jail. They'd called him to come down to the jail. They had a man that was just, had really causing a lot of problems. And Brother Harder went down to the jail, and the jailer told Brother Harder, said, "We want you to go in here and talk to this man." Said, "This man thinks he's a sinner." Said, "Somebody's got to tell him he's not a sinner." And said, Brother Harder said, the man, the jailer told him that twice, and Brother Harder didn't, he just never replied anything. And finally, when the third time, the jailer said, "You've got to go in here and explain to this man that he's not a sinner." Brother Harder said, "I can't do that. I can go in and I can tell him he is a sinner, but I can tell him about someone that's much greater than that. I can tell him about someone who came to save sinners." Brother Harder did it. He went in and he counseled with the man. Later, that man joined Brother Harder's church. And so, it's the fact that we recognize sin. We recognize where we are and that we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But we have to recognize them first in order to be able to. If we just think that this is natural and I can't do anything about it, if we think that it's all right, if we go off to college and we'll just have one binge night, we'll just drink, you know. I know alcohol is something that's got a lot of people, I have even, in our own family, somewhere down in cousins or somewhere, you got people who just could not handle the alcohol. I have an understanding of that, because I understand that it's real. But at the same time, we have to really still realize that it's still a sin, and it's against God's Word. And that we some way have to be able to turn it around. So we have to be able to recognize that sin. But he says, "But, O Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and his word, and in his word do I hope." The only hope we have is in his word. I've conducted 3 funerals in the last 9 days. The last day before I left home, conducted a funeral of a man, and his he was actually a Primitive Baptist, and he was in not too close to our church, about 40 miles away, and they do not have a pastor right now, and they called me to come over and conduct his funeral. His daughter called me actually from California, and there's a few good people in California, but she told me on the telephone that she didn't really know what to do, because she says, "I'm a Buddhist," And so I don't know what to do. And I said, well, I do. And so I helped her through with it, and I conducted the funeral. But you know, I was representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? You know, sometimes you're called, and funerals are a wonderful time to be able to witness and give your testimony to people, because you have all kinds of people. I've conducted funerals before of people who killed just after they've been out all night honky-tonking. You know, come in at 4 o'clock in the morning. The wife shoots him, or he shoots himself or something. You go in to conduct a funeral, and, you know, there's motorcycle riders over here and they so forth. But, you know, I remember walking down that aisle, and that place was jam-packed, because that man had a lot of friends. You know, you have a lot of friends in this world if you want to mix with the world. And this place was on a Sunday afternoon, and they couldn't all fit in the house. And I remember walking down that aisle to conduct that funeral service of a man that gave absolutely no evidence at all that he cared anything about the Lord. In fact, he told my brother and I one time, I remember where we were standing, he said, I just don't see what y'all get out of church. And then, of all things, the man dies. His wife's a member of our church now. And the man dies, and he called me for his funeral. And I think, and so I had a very mixed crowd there, and I was just wondering, what am I going to say? Well, you know, I think Primitive Baptists are called on a lot of times for funerals. I know that my daddy held a funeral one time for the biggest drunk in the county. Everybody knew B.D. Olds, and B.D. Olds, he was just a town drunk. And so Daddy held Bonnie D.'s funeral, and I know a lot of people come to see what Daddy had to say about Bonnie D., but anyway, this man that I was holding a funeral for, I remember I had service that morning, and I had to drive down to Nacogdoches for the funeral service, and I was wondering, what am I going to say? You know, I've got all kind of problems here. And I remember walking down that aisle with a jam-packed funeral home, and all the flowers were everywhere. He was a very popular man in this world, but he had witnessed to me. He didn't know what we got out of church. Well, it's not my responsibility to know where that man's going to heaven or where he's going to hell. That's God's choice. I'm not here to try to determine if it's what he's going to do. But a lot of people, you know, think, I guess, that the preacher's got to preach him up or down. But I can't preach one up to heaven. I can't preach him down. And I remember walking down that aisle and down that aisle. The scripture came to me, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And I did the best I could. I took that text and I preached, and certainly the man, I'd known his mother and daddy all my life and all of his family. And certainly, he had a lot of friends. It was evidence there, and he had a lot of flowers there. But I felt that the Lord blessed me in that effort, because you see, I was there as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's people here who did not represent the Lord. They had other things. But here, so me as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no need for the Lord to lift me up in myself, but for His great honor and glory. You see what I mean? Now, when I'm standing here before a Buddhist daughter who does not believe in life after this life, unless you come back as some bug or some animal, I'm here representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just pray the Lord for His honor and glory. Not that I be lifted up. That woman didn't know me, and I bet they wasn't. There was two other people besides my wife and I there that even knew me. But I was there as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize, as a minister, we should realize so often, and I'm glad to see Brother Andrew Huffman. I love that brother. We need to realize that we are ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here representing George Bush. I'm not here representing, you know, some other government, some other city, some other group. I'm here representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, and I have to think, oh, man, me, representing the Lord Jesus Christ. If indeed that I'm called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who I'm here representing. So when I stand before a Buddhist, I'll be able to tell them about the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. As the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from that grave, so will we be raised from the grave. And one day, with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, he'll come back and raise these sleeping bodies. And those, the dead in Christ, shall rise first. And then we that are left will meet them in the air and forever be with the Lord. I can proclaim that message because I'm here representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the writer here recognized his sin. He also recognized the fact that there was, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? He realized his sin was over his head. He could not, he was drowning. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. There's forgiveness with the Lord. He says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My hope is in the word. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is that there will be, is in his word. So it's told me about the resurrection of our Lord. It's told me at least six instances in the Bible where he was seen after his resurrection, or it was recorded six times. Over 500 people at once that were alive, that when Jesus was on this earth, and then he was crucified and buried and rose again, over 500 witnesses was here to testify that that's the same man that we knew here that was crucified. That's the same man. The Buddhist, no one else, no other religion except the Christian religion teaches us about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and of these bodies. It said, I wait for thee, Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. That's where my hope is today, and it's where your hope is. And no matter what your troubles and trials of life is, your hope is in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. You know, we got up yesterday morning at 3 o'clock. We was going to head up here. I got up at 3. My wife didn't get up till a little later, but my, we wanted to come. We were excited about coming. We were, I don't know if that was the right word. Brother Pyle said don't use excitement. So, but we were looking forward to coming. We wanted to come. At 3 o'clock, I was awake, and we got in last night. We didn't leave then, but we were making preparation. We were fixing to come, you know. That means being prepared. My daughter one time was in college, and she used the word, I'm fixing to do something, and the professor got all over her, told her, said that wasn't the right word. I said, you go back and tell him to read Psalms, and I forgot what it is now. But David said, my heart is fixed, O Lord. It means it was prepared. And I'm fixing to do something. I got a lot of things to do before I leave. I'm fixing to get ready to go. We were fixing to come. And so we got in last night. Brother Poe had just got us a wonderful place to stay last night. And we got in there, and I'll tell you, at 8:30 last night, it was lights out. And I had such a good night's rest last night. Oh, it was just wonderful. Everything was wonderful. Just got up this morning and refreshed and ready to go. What a great blessing it is to get to come to the house of the Lord and be with his people and receive all this wonderful blessing of a good night's rest. Now, that's a wonderful blessing. My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. We were watching for the morning yesterday. We were anxious to come. He says, I say more than they that watch for the morning. My soul waited for the Lord. He couldn't wait for the Lord. He couldn't wait like you can't wait for the morning to come. He said, my soul waited for the Lord. He needed the Lord to come. He needed it to get daylight. He needed the Lord to come. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. There's mercy with the Lord. I hope and trust that you'll be able to recognize sin. You'll be able to personalize your sin. You'll be able to vocalize your sin. Be able to confess it. You'll have to be able to recognize it in order to confess it. You won't be able to modernize it and change it to something else or to glamorize it or civilize it or justify it or any of those other things. You've got to be able to recognize the sin. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. The Lord said that he that confesses his sin is faithful and just to forgive him. And if you go to the book of Proverbs, it also tells us that he that confesseth and forsaketh his sins. So I think it's important that we also, I know that we have sometimes confessed our sins and have received the Lord's forgiveness, and we go back and commit the same sin again. Well, we need to forsake it. He that confesseth and forsaketh his sin. If you ever get yourself involved in, I know that we all sin so much, even in our, just our thoughts and so many things, but whenever I say one of the biggies, confess your sin and forsake your sin. I had a woman came to me one time, and she'd been involved in a relationship 20 years earlier and had never been involved in anything like that since. And she could not, I met her at, she wanted to meet me at church one Sunday morning before church, and I met her there, and she just couldn't. This had happened 20 years before. And I said, well, do you think the Lord has forgiven you of that sin? She said, yes, I think the Lord has forgiven me. I said, then you need to put it behind you. And the Lord has put it as far as the east is from the west and in the bottom of the sea. And he stuck out a sign that says, no fishing. You don't have to pull it back up and continue. When you have confessed your sin and forsaketh your sin, go forward with your life and do not let that then be a burden. The Lord can forgive you. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So I hope that you will recognize your sin, to be able to confess your sin, to realize do not let any of this world in which you live is so demonized. He's just going about seeking whom he will devour. And if you're not careful, they'll be able to you'll go off to school someday, and your friends there want you to do all these things. They begged me to join the fraternities whenever I was in college, and I didn't really want to. I mean, I didn't want to. I didn't know what they had to offer me. All that, what's a great time we have. You know, it's just, so we have great parties. Well, I wasn't interested in their party. I wasn't all that good a boy. I just didn't care about acting out my sins in front of everybody else. You know what I mean? Now, you don't have to get out here and be an influence to someone else. So if you're ever involved in sin, do the best to keep it to yourself. But today, they want to glamorize it. They want to put it out before the world. We're going to have all these talk shows, and we're going to come on, and we're going to tell all these things. Don't do that. You confess your sins to the Lord, and you ask for his forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So as you go further in life, remember the eyes of sin that you will be faced with. Thank you this morning for your very good and kind attention, and I trust the Lord will continue to bless this meeting.